Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we continue our Lenten series, Listen to Him, which sort of loosely follows along with the 40-day devotional that some of the Sunday school classes and some individuals are reading. And by the way, we will continue our Wednesday Bible study this coming Wednesday that takes a deeper look into the sermons, and it's more of just a discussion. Bobby kicked us off with that this past Wednesday, and Mike and I will be there this Wednesday to continue it on. So have you ever had a gut check moment? One of those moments where maybe you feel like the Holy Spirit sort of slapped you across the back of the head? Or maybe somebody said something to you that kind of stung. And not because it was mean, but because it was true. Or maybe you just catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and you realize that there's some stuff that you should probably handle, probably deal with. That's the kind of moment that Jesus is inviting us into in our passage today. Not a surface-level faith or a religious performance, but gut-level honesty. So before we read the passage, we'll set the scene a little bit. Earlier in chapter 11, Jesus had cast out a demon, and the crowd had a really strong reaction to it. Some were amazed, and others were not so much amazed. They were maybe outraged a little bit. They actually accused Jesus of casting out the demon with the power of Satan rather than the power of God. They demanded a sign from heaven, even though they had just seen a miracle with their own eyes. This crowd that Jesus was talking to included skeptics and cynics, and included the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and they were unwilling to accept what was right in front of them. They were sort of closed off and trying to poke holes in everything that Jesus did to justify their unbelief. And so he's surrounded in Luke 11, 33 to 36, by people who are technically in the light. They are witnessing the work of God. And the truth is standing right in front of them, but they don't see it. They won't let it in. So Jesus responds with a warning, but also an invitation. He begins to talk about lamps and eyes and light and darkness, and it might seem like he's shifting topics, but he's not. He's talking about the same thing, how people see or don't see what is right in front of them. And so his words are instruction, warning, and invitation. And they are also an urgent call to those gathered that day and to us still, an urgent call for gut-level honesty. The kind of honesty that doesn't just ask, do I believe in God? Or do I have faith in Christ? Or do I go to church? Or am I a good person? It instead dares to ask, am I truly letting the light of Christ fully into my life? Am I being honest with myself about the dark corners that I have left unexamined? So let's look at the text. It is Luke chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light with no part of it in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. Jesus starts with a simple, almost obvious statement. No one lights a lamp to put it in a cellar. Of course not. The point of light is to shine. It's meant to illuminate in the darkness, to guide, to reveal. Jesus is the light, his teachings, his miracles, his presence. And so he's not hiding anything. He is the lamp set out for all to see. But then Jesus makes this shift from an external light, a lamp, to internal vision. He says your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is not healthy, your body is in darkness. So the Greek word translated as healthy here in our passage is haplos, which doesn't mean healthy physically. It actually means single, as in singularly focused or undivided. In contrast, an unhealthy or a bad eye is one that would be divided, not functioning properly, not willing or not able to let in all of the light. So the point Jesus is making is that the problem isn't with the light. The problem is with us not being willing to see the light. When the light of Christ shines on our life, of course it brings warmth and comfort and guidance, and it shows us where to go. But it does something else. It reveals what might be hiding in the corners. It exposes what's been ignored, what's festering, what might be false. And that's where the gut-level honesty comes in. Are we letting Jesus' light fully shine into our hearts, or are we keeping parts of our lives sectioned off? Do we have a single, undivided heart, or are we compartmentalizing, saying Jesus can shine here, but not here? I think we do this more than we think or even realize. We let Jesus in when we're at church or we're with our Bible study group or our church friends, but when we're at work or when we're in traffic, maybe when we're, you know, out having some fun, when we're making decisions about money or relationships or priorities, we might say, well, this has nothing to do with that. My faith is over here, but my finances are over here. My church life is over here, but my screen time, my attitudes, my relationships are over here. And it's not even always intentional. We might do it to cope with some terrible things that have been thrown at us. We might do it because we believe the lie that God doesn't care about little stuff or about secular things in our life. Other times we might just not want to deal with what the light will reveal. But that sectioning off of our heart, that compartmentalization, it can be dangerous because it can bring with it a false sense of spiritual health. You know, we like the idea of light revealing good things. But when the light exposes what we'd rather keep hidden, when it shows the mess, the cracks, what we might need to work on, we might not be as excited about that part. So imagine that your heart is like a house. And so Jesus comes to visit, and you let Jesus into the entryway or the living room, the part that's really tidy and presentable for company. But then Jesus starts opening your closets, and he wants to look in the attic and in that room that you throw everything in and shut the door when company is coming. We all have that room, right? It's not just me. Are we going to let Jesus in there? He wants to be in all of those places. Not just in the tidy, presentable part that we want everyone to see, but in all the parts. Not for judgment, but for healing and restoration. The funny thing about light that we need to remember is that it does bring hope, but it also brings judgment. And when we allow that to happen, we can be restored. Not letting the whole light in is one danger that Jesus is talking about here, but he also warns of another, perhaps more subtle, danger. He says, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. In other words, be careful what you're calling light. This past week, I was out of the city for a few days. It wasn't cloudy, And I had the rare treat of looking up into the night sky and seeing all the stars, bright and brilliant and just stretching across the sky as far as I could see. And I just stood and stared for a long time, because it had been a while since I had seen a sky like that, so clear and bright. You know, living here in the city, we're surrounded by light. House lights, street lights, car lights, store lights, and it makes the sky look a little dim. The way the theologian John Piper puts it is that there is much that passes for light through the eye that is not light. There are many bright things in the world that keep us from seeing the true light of Christ, just like the city lights keep us from seeing the stars. So that's why Jesus says, be careful. In fact, that's the only command in this passage. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you let in. Be careful what you allow to define your idea of truth and goodness and purpose. There's an old children's song, Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See. Y'all remember that one? It's simple, but really very profound, because what we see shapes us. If we focus on Christ, if we allow His truth to fill our life, we can become full of light. But if we chase after other lights, even ones that seem bright, we end up in darkness. If we allow the glow of the world to become our light, we might miss the true light that is Christ. So what's the goal? Jesus tells us there at the end of the passage that if your whole body is full of light with no part in darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. So not dim or divided, not dulled by other sources, but full of light. Every part, every room, every corner. And the really beautiful thing about that image is that a lamp doesn't shine just for its own sake. It shines for others to be able to see. And so that's the last truth of this passage, is that the light in you isn't just for you. As Miss Laura had us sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We're not letting it shine only for ourselves. We're letting it shine for the world, for the world to see that light of Christ. If Christ has illuminated your life, it's not for you to just sit silently and enjoy the glow all to yourself. It's so that your life can become a testimony, a beacon, a guidepost for someone else who is walking in darkness. And we never know who that may be or where we might encounter them. So if we only let our light shine here while we're at church, then we may miss letting someone at work see that light, or in the grocery store, or anywhere else that we may find ourselves. Jesus is inviting us in this passage to check in with ourselves. And that's really what this whole season of Lent is about, an examination of the heart, checking in, preparing ourselves to celebrate the risen Christ. And I don't think that He is calling us to perfection. He's calling us to openness, to vulnerability, and to honesty. There is a world stumbling in the dark right now. People aching for hope, for direction. Certainly people searching for truth when there's so many versions of the truth out there. And if the light of Christ is in us, we can't keep it to ourselves. We have to share it with that world stumbling in the dark. But we can't fully shine if we are holding back pieces of ourselves. Not to condemn us, but to heal us, Jesus wants to fill every part, every corner of our heart, So let us let him in to every closet, every attic space, every junk drawer. Because when he lights you up from the inside out, you don't just see more clearly, you help others see more clearly as well. And that is the goal. So let us all check in this week and ask, where is that light? Where is it in the world and where is it in us? And how do we share it? Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for the light of your word that has shone into our hearts today. And as we leave this place, help us to live with undivided hearts, to let your truth guide our steps, to be a reflection of your love to those around us. God, we pray for the strength to walk in the light, even when it's hard, even when we're scared. We know that you already know all of it. Help us to share it with you. May our eyes remain focused on you that we might see clearly and live boldly and trust in your perfect will. We ask for your peace to fill us and for your presence to go with us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a daughter or son. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a saint. In his name we pray. Amen.